Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you for that worship. It was so good.
Yay.
It was so good because God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm just excited to be able to be here with you guys this morning and to be part of what's happening. You know, as Gracetown, we start to move and we start to kind of shake and start to develop and what God is doing here. It's an exciting time. But I don't want to kind of pass over what we kind of went through to that kind of put us in this space today. And as we've been looking at the book of John and as we've seen Jesus interact with people in so many different ways, right? We looked at the story of Jesus from the wedding banquet where he saw the need of the wedding party and he provided for them something good that was so powerfully and so meaningful to that family that he met them in that space and he brought them to where everybody saw that God had stepped into that situation where he took water and he made it wine. And we continue to go on. We see where Jesus feeds the 5,000. There was a bunch of people that were hangry. Right? You know how it is. Some of you guys are in church. You might have missed breakfast this morning. And your stomach's growling. And that happens to me too. Where you're sitting there. I'm hungry. And it's hard to hear the word when you're a little hangry. So Jesus said, hey, guess what? I'm going to give these folks some lunch. So Jesus is right in the middle of every human need. And I think that's one of the things that makes God so relatable through his son, Jesus, is the fact that Jesus, when he became a man, when he left his throne in heaven and he came to earth, he experienced things just as we do. And he was able to connect with us on a deeply intimate level in order that we would be able to return in a type of intimate relationship with him because he wasn't distant, but now he's close. And so what I want to talk about a little bit this morning is just as he made water into wine and he met the needs of the wedding party, just as he fed the 5,000, just as he healed the blind and the lame, Jesus is also there in the middle of grief. And this morning I'm going to take an opportunity, I'm going to pull the Band-Aid off just a little bit because I think in order for us to get better and for us to get through something, we need to be able to experience the pain a little bit, because I don't know about you, pain teaches me lessons. Yes. Difficulty teaches me lessons. And a lot of times, those are lessons that I just do not want to learn. Is anybody with me on that, right? Because the path of least resistance is always the better way, right? Because when I have to have a little bit of pain, when I have to have a little bit of suffering, I don't like that. You know, and just as many of us who were at one time all together at Cornerstone, and let's just be straight up, what happened hurt. Amen. It hurt. Mm-hmm. And we're still, if we're really honest, we're still in the after effects of that. We're so happy to be together. We're so happy to be side by side, to be worshiping, to start this healing process. But there's still a little bit of pain in the wound. And one of the things that was kind of going through my mind as I was just praying, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, I just want to be honest. I just want to be straightforward with this message of Lazarus. Because, yes, we all know the story. Lazarus rises in the end. But there was a process to that. There was a purpose in the pause. And you know what I'm talking about, right? There's a space in this story where Jesus says, I'm going to wait to meet them in their pain. Whew. Man, and we're, as we jump into this chapter, I want us to be able to really take a really good look at our situation because we're going to be praying for the next 30 days, fasting. We're calling out to God. We really need your direction. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, we really need to know where you want us to go. Because we want to be able, if God so chooses, to be able to build something off of this, we want to be able to be in a process where we're going through a healing and not trying to avoid the process or the pain, but to trying to get through it and not over it.
Yes.
Because I think we live in a culture where everybody wants everybody to get over things, but not go through things. And I think as we see through Scripture, we see God is the type of God that helps us get through and not always over. Yeah. I remember one time in my life when I was, this is probably about almost 18 years ago now, I had a situation in my life where I had my three of my grandparents die and my mom die, all within a short amount of time. And then I found myself alienated from my family and my father due to some situations that had happened in the church that he had done wrong. And I was like, God, seriously? I just want to get over it. And I tried. My wife is a testimony. I tried. I'm a horrible griever. Anybody else a horrible griever? Oh, man. I don't like pain. I don't like hurt. So all I want to do is get over it and not have to go through it. But that's not how it works sometimes, right? I know many of us in the process of what was going on at Cornerstone, we prayed hard that God would fix this. And we believed him wholeheartedly that he was going to fix this. But the fix didn't come in the way we thought it was going to be. And so now I was kind of just laughing a little bit. Now we went from a building, and now we're in this beautiful home, and there's a greater sense of family in the closeness. Because when we go through something together, pain and trial bring people together. But also in that same space, there needs to be a blanket of healing that is coming over. So if you guys have a copy of the scriptures, if you want to turn with me to John chapter 11, and like I said, we're going to be looking at the story of Lazarus. And so in order to save a little time, I'm going to jump around a little bit, but I'm going to get the story to you guys, so don't worry. So let's go ahead and start in chapter 11, verse 1. And let's get familiar with the characters in this story. It says, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, the one whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard this, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." So we see in this story, these aren't just strangers that Jesus just happened upon. These are people that Jesus himself had an intimate relationship with. Jesus was familiar with them. And it says that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know, we all know, as we've been, all of us have been in Christians or have been in church a long time, we all know Jesus loves us. Amen?
Amen.
I remember from a small kid and being in children's church, and we used to sing the song, "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me." And man, as a kid, I was like, yes, he does, all the time. Because my life and my problems weren't really that evident. And as I was driving to our gathering this morning, that song was kind of playing over my head. Yes, he loves me. But I have added a couple extra verses for you this morning. So I was like, yes, Jesus loves me. But why am I fighting with my wife this morning? Yes, Jesus loves me. My kids are acting horrible. Yes, Jesus loves me. Right, I didn't get the promotion. Yes, we can add all these words. He loves me, but my situation may not have changed.
Yeah.
And yes, Jesus loves me and the church, but yet what happened at Cornerstone still happened. But is God any less loving?
No.
No, he's not. So we see Lazarus, and we see Mary and Martha in a situation. These were people that Jesus loved. But as we continue further in this story, we're going to find out just because Jesus loves you doesn't mean hard things don't happen.
That's right.
And I think having a proper idea and theology of suffering and going through things is so helpful for the Christian, because when we have a proper perspective on those things, our praise isn't relegated on how good is in that situation. Our praise is defined by who he is all the time.
Yes.
And who he is as he sits in glory. And so we move forward into the story. And I think I love this part too, because right after we find out how much Jesus loves them, we move to verse 6. And it says this: "So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place that he was." Catching that, right? These are people that Jesus loves. They sent him word that someone that he loves is sick. And Jesus said, "I'm going to pause. I'm going to stay where I'm at 2 days longer." I'm going to kind of throw myself under the bus a little bit. When I'm sick, I'm a big tough guy, but I can be a little bit of a baby. I can. I'm not going to lie. And so when I'm sick, you know, I assume the position. I go home, I get in my bed, and I wait for my beautiful bride to come upstairs to take care of me. But if my wife did like Jesus did right here, it says, look, right? If she opens the door and says, "Honey, are you okay? I'll catch you in 2 days." I'd be like, "Babe, the one you love is sick." You see how that just doesn't work in our logical minds, right? Where we're like, oh man. So when Jesus, these people that he loves, they send him a message, say, "I'm sick." The expectation is that because you love me, you will show up right immediately.
Yeah. That's right.
But that wasn't the case. Jesus hit the pause button and stayed 2 more days. I know we were all in a situation where we were all just, "Lord, we see where things are going in regards to what happened at the church. We saw it coming, but we were still hopeful that God was going to show up." But as the pause became more of a reality, as the 2 days became 3 days, 4 days, and 5 days, we hit a point where our faith was getting stretched. Man, and when our faith is stretched, you start to see, I was thinking about this, when our faith gets stressed, sometimes we think it's a tight rope, and we're so anchored and connected to the person of Jesus that, because we hear it all the time, right? "You're for us, you're not against us, you're never going to give us anything more than we can handle. We are more than a conqueror. We are fearfully and wonderfully made," and we start to just grab all that, and that's all good truth. Believe me, those are foundational things to stand on. But when my pain is interjected into that situation, I start to see the rope of my face start to fray just a little bit. Because now I went from a place of ease to a place of tension. Because when you put the weight of life upon your faith, you find out how strong that tethering is to who God is when there's tension on it. And so we find ourselves in that situation, and we find Lazarus and his family in that situation. And in verse 11, it says this. These are Jesus' words upon finding out the condition of Lazarus. He says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." it gets funny. Let's laugh with it, right? It says, "Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was just taking a rest for a nap." So then Jesus comes out straight up and says, "Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead." In this situation, right, I think a lot of times we get a little bit confused with God. Anybody been confused?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. With God a little bit? And in this situation, we see the disciples and Jesus having a conversation. Just above in verse 4, Jesus had told them that this sickness will not end in what?
Death.
Death. Now we find ourselves in verse 11, Jesus talking to the same people. And they're thinking, this is going to have a good, happy ending. We've seen Jesus heal the sick. We've seen him feed the five. This is just going to be another miracle to put in Jesus' belt. But it's good because they have gotten accustomed to it. So they just think, hey, Jesus, you know what? Let Lazarus take a nap. We don't need to go to Judea because we know what happens in Judea. Those people are in Judea. And if we go there, they're going to want to kill you. So let's be logical about this. Lazarus is going to be fine if he's just taking a nap. So Jesus said, no, he's not napping. The brother is dead. Can you imagine the thought processes of the disciples? They're going, you said this wasn't going to end in death, but it did. And I think a lot of us in the process of everything that happened, we just kept really thinking. I know for myself, I'll mean to speak for myself. I kept believing that, God, you can come through. I've seen some of those 11th hour miracles, Lord. I've been a part of those 11th hour miracles. And thank you for that faithfulness and that story in my life. And so I just kept believing. Just like the disciples. Man, they're just in a nap. Wake them up, Lord. Yes. Wake them up. Let them see your truth. But the truth of the matter was, is that something many times has to fully die before it rises again. Just like me and you in this gospel message. We are transformed, right, from death to life because of the fact of our sin. We are once partnered with the enemy. We were partnered with Satan. And our sin was going to lead to death. But because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, we have the opportunity to die with him and then rise again as a new creation. So sometimes things have to die before they can be raised up again. So the story moves on. In verse 17, it says, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for how many days?
4 days.
2 days late, 2 days travel, 4 days later, Jesus shows up on the scene. I don't know about you, when I pray, I would really, really appreciate the immediate result. Yeah. Because you see it all throughout the Bible, right? People pray, and the other part of it is you see God show up for other people. Man, can I just be real for a minute? That when I see God showing up for other people and he doesn't show up for me, it messes with me sometimes. When I got a family member that's sick, when I got a friend that's going through a divorce, when I got all these things, you know, I got all these things I'm praying for, and I'm like, God, it would be really nice if you just show up right now. Because I think we're in this culture where we want immediate satisfaction. We expect God to be kind of like that genie. We're rubbing that lamp, we're rubbing that lamp. God pops out and says, what do you want? And when he doesn't give us what we want right off, we just get a little bit upset. So 4 days. 4 days in the tomb. And in verse 20, he has a conversation with Martha, and it goes like this. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Wow. Jesus, if you would have just showed up 4 days earlier, my brother wouldn't have died. If you would have just been on my clock and on my time, things would have got better. Man, I wish God worked on my time sometimes. You know, I was just here in church. I grew up in a very like Pentecostal environment. And it was always, you know, God, you ask him anything, it's just going to happen. You know, heaven's going to open, it's going to fall down. And there's times when it does. Mm-hmm. But there are other times where Jesus is on the slow train of teaching me, of refining me, of breaking me, and remaking me. Because Jesus doesn't want a transformation that just helps me for the moment. He wants a transformation to take place in my life that lasts for an eternity. Amen. And sometimes the greatest transformations take time to get you where you're going. And so he has this conversation. Martha's like, man, Ford, you would have just been here. This would have changed. But then we have this flip in Martha, which I think is awesome. And Martha says to Jesus, but even now, come on, but even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Amen. Can you say it with me? But even now. Right? But even now, even as we sit in this house, but even now, God is doing something so powerful and so transforming and making us bind ourselves together as a real church, as a real family, that God can do something powerful with. Let's not miss that. That God is in the space that but even now, God can do something amazing. Even with my pain, even with my brokenness, even with my hurt. And here's Martha, whose brother, who's been in the grave for 4 days, but she still believes that Jesus can do something that no one else can do because he has the attention of God. All of us are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We have the attention of the Father because of what we have accepted in Jesus. That scripture says that if we pray and we ask anything in whose name?
Jesus.
In Jesus' name. It doesn't say that we'll get it immediately. But we'll get it when we need it. And we'll get it when he wants us to have it. So then Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know he will rise again on the resurrection of the last day. Martha's like, yeah, Jesus, you can do whatever you want, but I'm going to give myself that safety blanket because I don't want to get my hopes up. Because if I get my hopes up, then there's an opportunity for me to get let down. And we've all been there. We're all cautiously optimistic. That's a term I like, right? We're just cautiously optimistic because we hope it goes this way, but we're totally prepared that if it doesn't go this way, that the disappointment will be less if we didn't get our hopes up.
Yeah.
So we're in that space of cautious optimistic. Being cautiously optimistic. And then Jesus goes on and says to her, let me tell you who I am. Let me tell you who's handling this situation. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And anyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asks her the question, do you believe this? Whew, man. And I think that's the question that God asks us all. Do we believe that God is who he says he is in every situation of life, no matter what? He's still loving. He's still faithful. He's still caring. He's still good.
Amen.
And good old Martha, right? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, whom is coming into the world. I don't know how many times that I have to preach to myself the gospel. It's a healthy thing to remind yourself what Jesus has done for you. And to just take a moment and pause and look at the faithfulness of God throughout your life. Because if our view just gets so focused on our current situation where it gets so small, we can look so focused on the pain that we can't see the entirety of a lifelong of faithfulness of what God has done. Because God is good, has been good, and always will be good. Because that's just who he is. Because he is a good, good father. So Martha has that conversation with Jesus, and she says, I got to go talk to my sister about this. Right? So he goes and talks to his sister. And it says, now when Mary came, so Martha goes and tells Mary, and says, now in verse 32, Mary's on her way to Jesus. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, kind of a repeat, right? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus what? Wept. Wow. The conversation that he had with Mary and Martha were so moving because these were, as we've already talked about, these were people he loved. He loved. Jesus was moved by the fact that the people he loved were grieving and were going through a hard time. So Jesus felt the pain of the situation, and he wept. This just wasn't one of those ones that, like guys in a movie that, you know, it gets a little emotional and just try to throw a little tear off, like, you know, don't see you. This was probably like ugly cry. He felt for them. And this morning, we're all in a situation with our, the pain that we have or the difficulty we have. Jesus feels for you. As much as this has broken, our heart has broken God's heart, and he feels it. He is not a distant God. He is weeping and crying with you. So many times, my that has been so comforting to me that Jesus, the Son of God, is willing to feel my pain and get close. To put his arm around me and walk through those difficult situations. Because the only way that I can be able to get through a situation is by knowing that Jesus is with me. In Romans 8:28, it says this, right? And we know that all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. So when Jesus is weeping with me, when he's close to me, I realize that he is close. And that all things, no matter how bad they look, are working for a purpose. Because it's hard to see the purpose under the blanket of pain. But when Jesus weeps with me, I know he's close to me. In verse 36, it goes on to say this. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, here we go, right? Could he not, who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying? There's always those people. There's always the naysayers. There's always the super negative person, right? And if I'm honest, I've been that negative person. When my woe is me gets really big, I could be that. Glass is always half empty. Man, Lord, 2-day delay, 4 days late, Lazarus dead, things are all messed up. Man, are you kidding? Are you going to show up? Well, you could have, because I saw the neighbors next door. You showed up for them. I see those pastors on TV. Right? It seems like everything goes right for them. I follow them on Instagram. Are you kidding? Their kids are all obedient. They're Their church is all worshiping and happy. Their leadership teams are amazing. And come on, Lord. 2 days, 4 days, Lazarus dead. Church in trouble. My pastor moving to Oregon. Are you kidding God? But thank the Lord, that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story of Lazarus, and it's certainly not the end of our story. It says in verse 38, it says, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone that lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. I love Martha's reply here. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to the Lord, by this time, there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. I love the King James Version on this. It stinketh. Man, Lord, it stinketh. Any of you guys said that in the process of all that's gone on? Man, this stinketh. This is foul. This is not good. But I love that Jesus moves on because he keeps on. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on the account of the people standing around me, that they may believe that you sent me. And it says that when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice and said, what? Lazarus, come out. Well, I just got to chill just saying that. Because, wow, the words of a man that can bring dead things to life. Yeah. And he wasn't just any ordinary man. He was the God man. And I love how he makes that declaration. I'm not saying this for my benefit. Because, God, I know you always hear me. Mm-hmm. I know you're always for me. I know you're always good. But for the benefit of y'all, I need them to hear this. I needed to hear that. We all needed to hear that. That this Jesus that we love and serve has the ear of the Creator just as we do. And that when we cry out, he answers. It says that Jesus doesn't just say, hey, Laz, come out. He says, Lazarus, come out. And then what happens? And it says, the dead man did what? He came out. He came out. For this group of believers, this family that God has brought together, yes, we found ourselves in a situation that wasn't ideal. But God is still good. He is still moving. There was purpose in the pause. There was purpose in the pain. Because what God is doing cannot be stopped by any man. What God wants to do, there's no one that can push aside God's plan. God is in control. He always has been. He always will be. God is in control. Are we ready as the people of God to come out into obedience and believe that God, just as he raised Lazarus, he can do it again? He can raise up a church. He can raise up a family. He can do whatever he wants. Because what God does is he brings dead things to life. Close with this. In Isaiah 40:31, it says this. But they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. May those words resonate with you this morning. Let's pray. Jesus, Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, and we praise you. We give you honor and glory. I pray, God, that tonight hope would rise. Just as you walked with Martha and Mary through the death of their brother Lazarus, Lord, that you were so loving, you were so kind, you were so compassionate, you told them what they needed to hear, God. I pray that we heard this morning what you wanted us to hear. That there is hope in Jesus. That we have a God who cares. And that there's resurrecting power in the cross. So Jesus, we praise you, we love you. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
I don't know about you guys, but that was awesome. Thank you, Craig. As Craig was delivering the message, as I was going through it, I saw one thing that stuck out to me, and it was really cool. Like in the moment, you're like, "Wow, what the heck are you doing, Jesus?" But God is God; He'll do it on His time.